Amen, amen. You guys can have your seats. So go with me. Let's see where we're going to go. Why? I thought of just mentioning tonight, why am I suffering? Because many people going through stuff, and I believe that, and again, I don't prepare for this stuff, so I write a few things out before I come here and let the Spirit of the Lord speak. But put on for me Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 32. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 32 on the screen. I want you to follow with me. There are things that happens in life. Sufferings, persecutions, afflictions. And many times we can ask the question, why this, and it is designed to discourage a person. When in fact, it is a sign, say with me, of godliness. The Bible says that when you desire to be godly, you will be persecuted. Are you guys with me? Not if you are godly, just if you desire. If you, isn't in the book of Peter, if you desire, those who desire to be godly, they will be persecuted. Are you guys with me? People that are not persecuted do not desire to live a godly life. I'm going to say it again. People who are not persecuted does not desire to live a godly life. Something is wrong if everything is just going right and right. But when everything goes wrong, but you keep standing firm, it tells me that there's something in you that the devil is afraid of. That there's a treasure in you that the devil is not happy about you. That there's greatness inside of you. That you are a son and a daughter of destiny. Are you guys with me? So read with me Hebrews chapter number 10 verse 32. It says here, listen. The book of Hebrews says, but recall the former days. Recall, bring to remembrance the former days in which, he's saying, listen, he's speaking of things that happen. I want you guys to listen to this. After you were eliminated, say with me, after. He says, listen, after you received revelation, after you've seen the light, after you've been to ECC and you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, your eyes have been opened and the power of God has come upon you. After that moment, you endured a great struggle. Say with me, a great struggle with sufferings. He's saying, listen here, there is a great struggle and sufferings that will come upon you once you have been enlightened. When revelation comes, don't think that you'll sit in a place like this and we preach on Sunday after Sunday revelation things and you jump and you scream and people's lives are being changed from sins of sexual immorality and drug addiction and homosexuality and people are being don't think the devil is going to sit relaxingly and not care. Are you guys with me? The devil will throw everything he can against you. He will throw everything he can against this church. But I did not plant this church out of a good thought or a business idea. It's a bad business idea if you want to plant a church. Okay? I planted it by an angel of the Lord that walked next to me and said, plant a church of the supernatural in Centurion. And that doesn't mean it's only Centurion. That means that's where it is going to start. Which means, and then God said to me, raise my people up in the supernatural. Equip them. And you have experienced open heavens here. Do not be surprised that after you received revelation, that after you encountered the light, that suffering and struggle will not come. It will increase upon your life. It is a sign that you have encountered God. Are you guys with me? It is a sign that there's a change about your life. When after I got saved, everybody turned against me. My family turned against me. My friends turned against me. I was chased out of my friends' houses when I would go and want to minister to them. But I have experienced something. I might have not been the best. I might have not been the best representation. But there was a change in my life. And I remember, I would just keep telling myself, it is because the devil is afraid of me. And I would keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. And go with me to, let's read on. Let's go on. Next verse. He says this, he says partly, while, he says, so don't let you was going through sufferings and afflictions and so on, partly, while you were made a spectacle, so it would be a spectacle. In the other translation it says a gazing stock, which means to put on a theater and to put on a stage. You feel like after you're saved, like people put you on a stage and laugh at you. Okay. Only I think like 5 people may be saved here. But this is what will happen. while you were made a spectacle, a gazing stock, a theatrical performance, both by reproaches and tribulations. Let me just show you what the word, let me just read you what the word reproaches means out of the Greek. Okay. The word reproaches, that you've been made a gazing stock, a spectacle. The word reproaches means the sufferings, even as Christ has suffered, the pain that he went through. The word tribulations means, it means a pressing together, pressure. Like you feel it's just too much pressure, you want to give up, you want to throw in. It's like an olive. When the anointing is produced, an olive, when oil comes out of an olive, an olive must be pressed. Are you guys with me? When the anointing wants to flow out of your life, God has to press you. You have to become pressable. Allow pressure to come upon you. It's like a toothpaste. If you press, something will come out. So whatever you are full of will come out. If you are full of the word, it will come out. If you are full of complaining and murmuring and anger and throwing tantrums, that will come out. Amen. So let's go. So it says reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you become companions of those who were also treated like this. Next verse. For you had compassion on me in my chains. So Paul, I actually believe that Paul wrote this book, but it's not for sure yet. And joyfully accepted the plundering of the goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Next verse. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Say with me, confidence. The devil is after your confidence. He wants to discourage you. He wants to put you down. Everything he throws at you, this, that, he throws at you. And every level of Christianity is another attack. And he wants to take away your confidence. The anointing does not flow without confidence. There's no way I can stand on the stage and be anointed if I am not confident. The Holy Ghost will immediately back off. Are you guys with me? He says, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Go for it to the next verse. I just want to see it for you. For you have need of endurance, and I don't plan when I preach here, right? So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After we have done the will. Are you guys with me? Many people want the promise before they got the will of God. After they've done the will of God, they'll receive the promise. Go for the next verse. I just want to see what it says. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Next verse. Okay, now let's go to, I didn't plan this. I just wanted to read that a little bit, and we're going to go through like that. Go for it to 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7. And we'll lift it. I'm just throwing out a few scriptures that can bring into you context as to what is happening. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be. Or first say with it, greatly rejoice. That doesn't mean just a little bit. He says, listen, in this thing that is happening now, you must greatly rejoice, that even though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Are you guys with me? Go through the next verse. That the genuineness of your faith, say with you, genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found praise, honor, and glory at the revelation. He's saying, listen here, the trials you're going through, begin to rejoice greatly, because your faith is tested to show that it's genuine, to show that you are a genuine copy. That people can see this one is not fake. Even life is hitting and throwing everything at him, he's still praising God. He's still worshiping. He's still at church, lifting up his name. That circumstances doesn't get him under. Listen, go with me to go to James chapter 1, verse number 2. James 1, 2. Ooh. My brethren, count it all joy. Say with me, all joy. And listen, Paul, some of these books he wrote in prison from chains. So he knew about suffering. Are you guys with me? He says, count it all. Obviously, it's James that wrote this. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Say with me, fall. That is the word that is standing out there that we overlook. We look at trials. The thing is, we trip up and we fall into problems. But he says, when this happens, count it all joy. Begin to rejoice. Listen, when I was saved, a lot of people would come against me. My friends would come against me. But I remember I would get into my room. It would be 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was saved freshly, a few months or 1 year. And I would close my door and I would just begin to praise him. I would put whatever music at that time was available, Hillsong or something, I'll put that on. And I would alone jump in my room, clap hands and praise God. People don't see me doing it now, but it doesn't mean I never done it. Are you guys with me? If the only thing that was encouraging me is that this is a process that I'm going through. When you get saved, I am still in it. 14 years later, I'm still in that process. I could have given up a long time ago. Our ministry, we were so tight, my close team know that I think 2 or 3 years into my ministry, just before we planted the church, I wanted to give up everything. I would be sick. I'd end up in hospital sometimes 2 or 3 times a year. People speaking against us, people on TV speaking against, ministers speaking against us on TV, that my heart would be so broken. But count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations. Greatly rejoice when these things happen to you. This is where we make the mistake. Because you see, I ministered this morning on Numbers chapter number 16. The Bible says that the congregation of Israel complained and murmured. They were just complaining at people. They're just complaining. When they phone me, I just thinking, just shut up. Just shut up. They just complain. Oh, this is going wrong. That is going wrong. And I'm thinking, you know what? If you rejoice, God will pour out His Spirit. He is waiting for you to rejoice. He is waiting for you to. And when you rejoice, you throw the devil out of sync, because he's expecting you to murmur and to complain. But when you rejoice, you confuse him. Listen, listen. Go with me to, let's read on verse 3. Knowing that the testing, say with me, the testing of your faith produces patience. You must test your faith. Next verse. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When I got saved, I remember I was in a huge church of about 1,000 people or so, just saved for a few months, and Pastor Mark called me out and prophesied over me before he became a spiritual father or anything. And he would say how I travel the nations and I have this huge ministry and all this stuff. And I thought that night, I thought, tomorrow morning, that is it. It's tomorrow morning, I thought, I would watch Benny Hinn and I think I'll wave my hand like this and people would fall. I got it. And I would wake up that morning and all hell would break loose for years. Are you guys with me? Now I can wave my hand and people can fall. I tried it in the beginning. I was trying every word. I would say touch. I would say fire. I would do everything. Nothing worked. I tried it. It is another, listen, people would see us prophesy now, but there was years where I would say, is there like this person here with this name? And no one comes up and they just look at you. And I would have that in services of 400 or 500 people. And you would learn things. You would pray for the sick and they wouldn't get healed. We have gone through some things. And it takes time. Are you guys with me? So go with me to, go to Psalm 34 verse 19. Psalm 34 verse 19. If you're going through suffering, take down these verses. Psalm 34 verse 19. Listen, many, say with him, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions. If you are righteous in this place, you will have many afflictions. But, say with me, but deliverance is coming your way. God is true and faithful, he'll deliver you. But many, don't underestimate many. Are you guys with me? Go with me to 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 verse 12. He says, yes, and I said this to you earlier. All who desire, say with me, to desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Does it say may? Does it say may suffer persecution? He says will suffer persecution. It will happen. Go with me to Acts 14 verse 22. And I'm just throwing out a few scriptures, eh? So trying to tell you not to expect the rose garden. And some people, oh man, you're sitting even now and giving me an attitude. Acts 14 verse 22. And they say strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, say with me, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, there's not heaven. It is the kingdom of God here on earth. Are you guys with me? The kingdom of God we are living in. The kingdom means the rule, reign, and authority. Basilia, to have dominion, your ability to cast out devils. When you walk in the kingdom, you can heal the sick, cast out devils. You can do those things. That is the kingdom of God. He says, listen, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Okay, so I hope all those little things boosted your faith. Say with me, listen. Say with me, suffering. When the enemy comes against you and throws things at you, Jesus was 2 years old when Herod ordered and sent a decree out to an entire nation to kill him. Are you guys with me? Because he was a threat. Moses, when he was born, before he was born, the king already made a decree and sent out forces to stop his birth, because they knew that a savior, a deliverer is going to be born. Moses was a deliverer. Listen, Pharaoh would kill the little children when Moses was being born because he's a deliverer. Herod would kill the little children when Jesus was being born because he was a savior. Right now, abortions kill 2/3 of people that is being conceived. Are you guys with me? Babies that are being conceived, because Satan is perceiving again that there is somebody that is going to rise up. But what he doesn't understand is that it is not one Moses or one Jesus. He said, you are my brethren, you are flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, spirit of my spirit. He's dealing now with the people who carries the spirit of Christ all over them. He doesn't have one person to deal with. But listen, when the enemy sees this and throws sufferings at you, it reveals the greatness that is locked up on the inside of you. Are you guys with me? If you go through any attack, it reveals that you are a child of destiny, that you are a child of greatness, that you are a son and daughter of promise. Are you guys with me? Listen. It's like, when I come and preach, I have a message. If I can preach, I can run and preach, but I have this on my heart. I have this thing to address. That even before I was born, I heard from my mother who was here that I could, that the doctor gave a diagnosis and said that they cannot have children, and they must, that if I'm going to be conceived, that, or if I'm going to go through birth, that I'm going to have a lot of defects and stuff like that. And through that, I still stand. Through that time, I was born. Through that time, I remember growing up, how things happened to me, almost at a drug overdose. When I remember seeing young people around me dying of drugs, I remember one young man spiked himself with heroin right in front of us, and he passed. He died, and a disease was released out of him. What was it called? What is that brain bacteria? Meningitis, but the one that is airborne. Somehow the drugs released that through him, and I think my mother will remember that. And we had to go to the hospital and to get medication, and because everybody that was in that house where we were taking drugs was susceptible to this. I remember how when I was young, when I would play with fire, and I jumped on we had this petrol bomb, and I jumped on the petrol bomb for some reason, I don't know why, all I remember was seeing orange around me, and then I heard my friend screaming. And when I saw again, my body was on fire, and my legs had third-degree burns, my chest, I think, and my arms and stuff like that. And then I would remember almost having a drug overdose, seeing my friends down in front of me, and making it through that, where I tried to take my life, I tried to commit suicide just because of demons that I had. But being through that, surviving through that, for one purpose, to stand here in front of you. Some of you, John Henry, had 3% of life left or something like that when you were in the bike accident, and he was supposed to pick me up that night, and I said no, and he picked somebody else up, and he was in a bike accident that his body ripped in 2 pieces, okay? I think we were 16, but he survived. Why? There's greatness. Don't overlook this thing that is inside. There's a treasure in earthen vessels. You have survived things that you can be at ECC and show the devil a hard time. You are not here by accident. You are not here by chance. You are here because you have a purpose. You are sitting here tonight because there's destiny on the inside of you. There's purpose on the inside of you. Are you with me? Listen, listen, listen. Have your seats, have your seats, have your seats. And we're going to pray and lay hands on everybody. Listen, let me go to what is the scripture? Let me look for it. Let me kind of like close off with this, and this will be a great offering message. So you're going to get your offering ready. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter, and this is how I want to end this thing off. Bad things happen to good people. But there is a purpose to this thing. Are you guys with me? There is reasons. Listen, I said, why do we suffer? Number one, it is after you received light and revelation. After you've accepted Christ, or you're coming into the kingdom. A lot of people accept Christ, but it doesn't mean that they are really doing something for the kingdom. After you hear in the church, you receive revelation, you receive something for the kingdom. You're doing something for the kingdom. After that, for the kingdom, after that illumination, you will receive many sufferings. So number two, the devil tries to make us suffer to remove confidence. Are you guys with me? Number three, we go through sufferings and troubles and tribulations because the devil sees destiny. The devil saw destiny in Jesus. The devil saw destiny in Herod. In Moses. Are you guys with me? Even before Moses was born, prophecies went out about him. And the kings would study his prophecies and know that a deliverer is going to be born. Even before Jesus was born, the prophecies were going out. And Herod would study the prophecies and study things that were said hundreds of years. But only Christians don't listen to prophecy. When the devil can study everything about your life, are you guys with me? The devil sees potential. Listen. Number three, the last thing is this. I'm going to read you through you. Let me just see what I can do. Okay, verse number 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. Say with me, a notable woman. She was notable, which means that some are notable, some are not. She was notable. And she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was. So this is now Elisha walking. He's walking past this house, and this woman would make him food. So she perceived that he is a man of God. Listen to this. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. Next verse. And she said to her husband, it's amazing that women have the sermon, but husbands doesn't. I preach that message to you. Women, if you see women by the grave by the burial of Jesus, not men. Peter backslid and went into his old business. The women were there. There's something about women where they are very sensitive. I preach the message here, how you will see this woman, how she runs off to the prophet. She gets him. She gets to him about the child. The husband does nothing. Many times husbands don't take the role in their house like they should. And women take their roles, which is very bad. Are you guys with me? Okay. So she had to persuade her husband, say, listen here, look now. I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Next, so she had discernment. She said, please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Say with me, upper room, which means this was above them. I'll leave it there. Okay, so they perceived the prophetic anointing. They did everything for this. I want you to see this because this is where a lot of people miss it. They do something for God and they don't see an immediate payback and then they get discouraged. Are you guys with me? Now listen, this woman perceived Elisha was a man of God. They would make him food. They built him a house, put everything to make comfortable for him. Now listen to what happened. Whenever he comes to us, he can turn in the next verse. Now listen to this. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Next verse. Then he said to Gehazi's servant, call the Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look,
You have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? So Elisha is saying, listen, you've done all these things. What can I do for you? What is there that you want? She answered, I dwell among my own people. Okay, next verse. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, and he said, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. Next verse. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Next verse. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Okay, whatever. Next verse. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come. So the appointed time. There is a specific appointed time for your destiny and your season. I have seen so many ministers miss it. I've seen so many business people miss it. There's an appointed time of which Elisha told. The next verse. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers, the child. Next verse. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. So we see how the father is not taking responsibility. Okay. Next verse. When he had taken him, brought him to his mother, he sat on his knees till noon, and then he died. Just stop there for me. Now you see, this woman and her husband built a house for the prophet, put him in there, fed him, did everything for him. He even gave them a promise, and their promise died. Okay. Okay, it's fine. Maybe only I have suffered certain things. If you have heard certain prophecies over your life not coming to pass, this is the reason why. Are you guys with me? I'll tell you now, we're going to go into it. This woman, the prophet said, you will have a son. This will happen. They did everything for him. And the very thing that God promised them died and took it away. Okay? Next verse. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him and went out. Next verse. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of your young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. Next verse. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. You see, husbands want to get religious. Why are you going to church on a Thursday night? It's only on Sunday mornings. It's only on this. Okay? And she said, it is well. Next verse. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace me unless I tell you. Go, next verse. I want to get to a point. And so she departed and went to the man of God and to Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman. Next verse. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, yes, it is well. Next verse. Now when she came to the man of God at the heel, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. Okay. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Even this thing, as Elisha was a prophet, doing double the miracles than what Elijah did, God has hidden it from him. Are you guys with me? Even though these people sowed into his life, did all these things. Next verse. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Next verse. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, okay, listen. I'm not going to carry on reading, but what happened? Elisha eventually went and he resurrected, and God resurrected the child. Are you guys with me? What happened here? What is happening with a lot of people? This woman was sowing and giving something without placing a demand upon it. I'm going to say it again. This woman, they were feeding him, building him a house, but they never placed a demand or said or placed a demand. There was not a need yet in their life. Are you guys with me? The prophet had to come to her and say, listen, what do you want? Even when you sow, when you give, when you pay your tithes, I'm like it. It's not about gambling, but I place a demand. I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, if you sow and you give without saying what your need is, you insult me and think that I cannot solve your problem. I'm going to say it again. When we sow and we don't place a need or something that we want, we're insulting God, and we actually think He cannot answer our prayers. And then God has to allow things to take place so that a need is created, so that we can run to Him and He can show off His power and resurrection can come. Are you guys with me? Place a need. Place a purpose upon your seat. When you tithe every month, when you give an offering, when you feel obliged to give, when you feel desired to give, place a need. It doesn't matter if it takes 10 years, but if we don't, if we think, if you know, a lot of people give out of thanksgiving. I was like that. I would give out of thanksgiving. Lord, just thank you. I'm not going to get blessed for that. But when I take and I give and I say, I'm trusting you for this, I say, God, I have confidence that if I sow into you, if I give to you, that I know that you will answer my needs. If it seems or looks like your promise has died, don't let it come to a place where God will allow something to happen in order for there to be a need. But let yourself put a need and say, God, I'm going to serve. Those who were here Thursday night, we had almost 100 people here saying they want to serve and give their lives and be volunteers. If you want to give in your money, if you want to give in your time, in whatever way you can, but place a need and say, God, I'm doing this because I know you can resurrect my promise. Even though it looks like my dreams are dead, I know that you have the power to resurrect it. Even though it looks like everything is wrong, I know that you have the power to resurrect this thing.